You ever felt like God didn't come through the way that you had hoped? Maybe you've been praying for something and it didn't work out the way that you thought it was. Maybe you've really worked towards, I know that I need to do some things differently, and so I try to adjust my life, but it doesn't feel like the right things are happening to me, even though I'm trying to do the right thing. Maybe you, man, I served and I gave, I believed, I really wanted, but it just felt like I was met with silence. At some point or another in your life, if you follow God long enough, you will certainly feel that way, because we have an agenda and we have things that we want and we have things that we ask God for. The challenge is that God doesn't always do exactly what we want him to do. And that can leave us jaded, that can leave us cynical, that can leave us frustrated and asking God, what is happening? Where are you in this? Do you even care? Are you interested in what I'm going through day in and day out? And so today on Palm Sunday, I'd love to kind of speak to that exact idea. You've heard the story of Palm Sunday. Brooke just talked about it. As Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he's met with palm leaves. You see the palm leaves and the palm leaves on the cross. And they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're lying down their cloaks and they're lying down the palm branches. And Jesus is coming through. It's so wonderful. And then a few days later, that same crowd is shouting, crucify him, crucify him. How did that happen? What is the change? How do we go from so excited about what God is doing to so frustrated that we just want to totally walk away? There's a little interesting moment in the Palm Sunday story that you may not have ever saw or noticed. But at the end, at the end of the parade, Jesus comes up over a hill and he sees Jerusalem down there, and people have been celebrating and people have been so excited. And Jesus's response is really interesting. Jesus starts to cry. And in the Greek, it's not just like this little silent tear of joy. It's not like this little quiet cry. It's a deep, deep weeping. What an interesting change from being celebrated to, as you look over the city, man, you're starting to cry. What happened? And what Jesus recognizes and what we're gonna see today is because he's crying because they don't understand what type of king I've come to be. Because in their mind, Jesus had come to overthrow the Romans. They were under Roman oppression and soldiers lined the streets and taxation was hard. And so the Jewish people had gathered for Passover and they had remembered that God had delivered them from Egypt. That's what Passover represents. And they'd gathered to say, man, I think that maybe one day God can also deliver us from underneath the thumb of the Romans. And they had seen Jesus do all the extraordinary things that he had done. And they see that he had built up a gathering. And there was almost this palpable taste in the air. Maybe this is the time. Maybe Jesus is going to show up and we're going to build an army and we're finally going to receive God's promise that we will be free. So they're shouting, and Jesus gets to the end of the street and he crosses the hill and he looks over the city and he starts to cry. Not because he's scared, but because they don't understand what type of king I've come to be. And so this morning, I want to show you from the Palm Sunday story, again, Luke 19, what type of king Jesus has come to be. Because Jesus has come to be the king of our life, not just an addition to our life, but a total overthrow of everything that I'd had up to this point. Now, Jesus is my king and I follow him. But if we have the wrong idea of Jesus, if we have the wrong expectation of Jesus, we'll be a lot like those people that one day waved palm branches and were so excited, then another day completely rejected him. And it's all a matter of what kind of king am I expecting Jesus to be? And so Luke 19 starts in verse number 28. After Jesus had said this, he went ahead and going up to Jerusalem, he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives. And he sent two of his disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you will find a colt, which is a donkey, tied there, which no one has ever ridden it. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Now, I'm going to try this. I'm thinking about trying this week. I'm thinking about sending a couple people out into the town and finding a brand new car, you know, the dealership. And I'm going to tell you, here's what, I'm just looking for some volunteers. Hey, just go grab that car for me so that I can drive it around. And if anybody asks you, hey, what are you doing stealing the car? Just say, Pastor Kyle needs it. It's fine. And I just want to see if it works. If it works, if it's good enough for Jesus, maybe it's good enough for me to get a new car as well. So if anybody wants to volunteer to either A, be really extraordinary, or B, be labeled as a car thief, let me know after service and we'll just see how it goes. And so those who were sent ahead went ahead and found it just as he had told them. And sure enough, as you can imagine, if you see somebody grabbing your stuff, your response would be exactly, hey, what's going on? Why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord needs it. And they let him have it. And so I'm just believing in faith this week that I'm just going to, I don't know what's going to happen. But this is an extraordinary. Now, we think of that as just this little part of a story. But what Jesus is actually doing is he's fulfilling a prophecy that's hundreds and hundreds of years old. If you ever want to go down an amazing rabbit trail, just Google later today all of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. There's an extraordinary, extraordinary reading you can do about all the things that hundreds and thousands of years ago, before Jesus arrived on the scene, people saw into the future and said, this is what the Messiah is going to be. And to a one, Jesus fulfilled that. And this is one, because in Zechariah chapter 9, here's what it says. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, and yet lowly, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And here's what we can remember at Palm Sunday. As you go through life attempting to the best of your ability to follow Jesus, and if you ever find yourself disappointed and I thought that it was going to be this way and I was praying and it didn't happen, here's what we need to remember. The king that we serve is not the king that necessarily meets every expectation, but he is the king that fulfills every single promise. The promise was a king is coming and he's going to be riding on a colt. What people wanted was that Jesus would come and he'd overthrow and he'd be a king that sits on a throne and he would overthrow finally the Roman government off of their shoulders and they would be a brand new nation. And that's what they expected. And in our life, in my life, I'm guilty of this. I have this expectation. I think you should do this. And God, I want you to act like this. And I've got a prayer that I want you to answer like this. And I want my life to go like this. And then when that doesn't happen all the time, I can get frustrated. Wait a minute, I thought we prayed about this. I thought this was the way that it was supposed to go. But all through scripture, we are never promised that God will meet every desire that we have. But we are promised that every single promise that he has made, he will fulfill down to the last letter. The people, they wanted a king that would overthrow Rome, not be crucified by it. And so it's an opportunity for us to examine ourselves. What am I expecting from God? I watched this video the other day and it was so sad. And it's just hung with me. I don't even know how it came across my algorithm, but I it's just been weighing on me. This older gentleman, maybe, I don't know, 70s, I'm not sure exactly how old he was, but he did this little selfie video about how he was abandoning faith because for years and years and years, he had prayed and had wanted this, and in his opinion and in his mind, God had never come through for him. And so finally, he was over it and he was abandoning his faith. I thought, how sad, because here is a man that assumed that God is supposed to fit in the mold that I create, supposed to do the things that I want him to do. And when he doesn't do it, well, then maybe he's not worth following after all. But on Palm Sunday, we need to be reminded that Jesus doesn't always fulfill our desires, but he always fulfills his promises. I have some desires that I wish that Jesus would fulfill. And I'm still hopeful that he will. And I still pray in faith that he will. But that is not a guarantee, because God is not my genie in a bottle. He is not this thing that is just my favor giver. He is a king, and a king fulfills his desires, and I follow the king. but a King Jesus also fulfills every promise that he's made. If you've ever wondered, well, what can I count on him for? Here's a small list. He promises that you can have rest for weary people. If you're weary, there's a promise you can have rest. He's promised to be with us always. He's promised the Holy Spirit to guide you. He's promised that we can have peace. He's promised to prepare a place for us in heaven someday. He's promised that no one can snatch him out of his hand. These are promises, and this is not an all-inclusive list. This is just a short list. And so there are things that you can count on. There are things that you can plant your feet on that I know, that I know, that I know, that King Jesus will fulfill his promise because he always fulfills his promises. Now, every desire, I don't know. Every want to, I don't know. But I follow him not because he meets the needs that I want him to meet. I follow him because he fulfills the promises that he has made. And so my invitation to you on Palm Sunday, if you are in that tension of frustration and that frustration of God, are you out there and are you listening and are you connected and are you involved? My invitation on Palm Sunday is don't walk away. Don't walk away. Because God hasn't done the things that you wanted him or you expected him to do, because that's never been promised to us. God's never promised us an easy life. In fact, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Scripture says that, man, if you're following Jesus, actually life can get more difficult. Things can get harder, not easier, because of your faith. But Jesus goes on and he says, but be of good cheer in that I've overcome the world. In other words, that at the end of the day, I am still sovereign overall. I am still king overall. The story continues in verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd, we see this, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for the miracles they'd seen. They'd seen blind people be given their sight. They'd seen lame people walk. They'd seen dead people rise from the dead. They'd seen so many extraordinary things. And so they rejoiced and they praised and they said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. They're quoting Psalms. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But some of the Pharisees, those are the religious leaders of the day in the crowd, said to Jesus, teachers, rebuke your disciples. They ought not be saying that. You can't take on that mantle. They're talking about a Messiah. Don't let them say that about you, because you are not the Messiah, is what they were trying to say. And Jesus replied, so amazing. He said, I tell you what, hey, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. What an amazing, amazing statement. So Jesus is the King who fulfills every promise, even if he doesn't fulfill our every desire. But Jesus is also the King that no matter what else is happening, is worthy of worship every day in every moment. That if I have allowed what is going on in my life up to that moment determine whether I'm going to be a worshiper or not, I've missed what King Jesus is. Because here are people that have witnessed miracles, they've witnessed his authority, they've seen things that we can't even possibly imagine, and now they are convinced that he is the one that's sent by God, but not everybody's praising. Not everybody is rejoicing. The same people that they saw the same miracles, but they said, I'm gonna withhold because I just don't think that you are worthy of being worshiped in that way. And so they say, hey, shut it down. You need to stop that, stop the noise. And again, Jesus says, no, it's not gonna happen because, man, if they keep quiet, even the stones know I'm worthy. Here's what Jesus is saying, that I am worthy of worship whether you acknowledge it or not. And that's an important thing for me to remember, that Jesus is worthy of my worship, whether I acknowledge it or not. That his worthiness of being worshiped is not based on what's happening in my life today. That his worthiness of worship is not based on, do I feel like it? Have I had a good day? Are my prayers being answered? The worth of Jesus is not based on what I am feeling in the moment. I can worship or not based on sometimes on my emotions, or I didn't sleep very well last night, or the kids are crazy, or I've got a stressful week coming up, or I've had a frustrating week in the past. And if I reduce Jesus's worthiness of worship to how I feel in the moment, I'm just like these guys that say, I'm gonna base my worship on what's going on. And Jesus said, no, no, no. I'm worthy of worship. Even the stones know that. The rocks understand that no matter what else is going on in the world, upheaval or peace, I am worthy of worship. And he's worthy of worship because that's just who he is. He's worthy of worship. Keith, do we have that slide? Because of just who he is. No, Keith, do we have that slide or no? Nope, not working. There it is. Yes, he's worthy of worship. It's just who he is. He's the eternal God. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the Word made flesh. He is the one that's come to cross that bridge between humanity and God and to cross that bridge of sin that has separated us. He's the risen King who conquered death. And so it's all those reasons. Jesus is worthy of worship. And so if you were just to examine your life, are you worshiping King Jesus? And sometimes you like the songs and sometimes you don't like the songs. And sometimes the song really hits you and yes, it's great. And sometimes it's not really your style. But have I limited my worship based on how I feel, or have I been able to get my eyes up a little bit and recognize no matter what else is going on, if I love the songs, hate the songs, if I'm frustrated, if I'm tired, if things are going great, if things aren't going great, my worship is dependent on who Jesus is, not dependent on what's going on in my life. Worship, again, it's not about how we feel. It's not about how we feel. It's about who he is. Because our worship, and this is important that we're reminded, that our worship does not add to his glory. That his glory is not magnified because of our worship. His glory is safe. His glory is sure. His glory is righteous. And I am just acknowledging what is already true. I'm not adding to it. I'm just acknowledging it. Psalm 19 says it this way: the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And so the question is not, is Jesus worthy of worship? The question that we have to wrestle with because of who Jesus is will we be the ones who offer it, or will creation do it without us? Jesus will be worshiped. Jesus will be magnified. The question is, will we be ones of the ones that participate in it? And I know you've had a hard day. And I know things aren't always great, and I know maybe prayers aren't answered, and I know the kids are crazy, and I know springtime is so busy, and I know maybe you didn't sleep very well, and I know job is stressful. None of that takes away from God's glory. None of that takes away from who Jesus is. And so a question as you enter Holy Week to wrestle with is have you been guilty of withholding your worship? And maybe there's a good reason. Maybe it's been just a difficult week. Maybe it's disappointment and you're not sure, God, I don't feel like you're doing what I want you to do. Maybe it's just purely based on what's going on. What will people think about me? And so my invitation is to you as you enter into this Holy Week is, would you just let the reality of who Jesus is pull you out of that silence? Let the reality that he is the eternal God made flesh, that he rose from the dead so that we could have a relationship with God. And that is the reason that I worship, that I praise, that I magnify, because he is worthy yesterday, today, and forever. Here's the last part of the story. Here's our part. As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it. What an amazing, amazing change. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and all these things that people were saying and rejoicing. And yet Jesus, he's weeping. Not just a quiet little tear, weeping. And he said, why? If even you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. Just pause right there for just a second. Here's what was happening. That people were chasing all these other things. They were guilty of the same thing we're guilty of. Chasing all these other things. And I think that's gonna bring me peace. I think that's the thing that's gonna bring me fulfillment. I need a different relationship. I need a different job. I need a better. I need a newer. I need a different. And all those things that we chase, it brings us peace. And Jesus gets to the top of the hill and weeping because they missed it. Jesus was right there in their midst. And they missed it. In spite of all the miracles he had done, in spite of all the things they'd seen, they still chased something else. And Jesus is weeping. He's saying, I was right here in front of you, and you missed it. And then he goes on and he says, the days are going to come upon you when your enemies are going to build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. He's prophesying the destruction of Jerusalem that's going to happen in not very long after his death. And they're going to dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize, what a sad verse, the time of God's coming to you. Jesus is the King. And he's the King that fulfills every promise, even if he doesn't fulfill our every desire. Jesus is the King who is worthy of my worship. And Jesus is the King who weeps over people who are distant from him, who are far from him, because people like us, we miss it. And we might say, well, if I was in the position that they were in, if I would have seen the miracles, if I would have seen people being fed from just a couple fishes and a couple loaves, or if I would have seen blind eyes open, or if I would have seen lame people walk, or if I would have seen all these things, then I wouldn't have missed it. But are you sure? Because God, in his mercy, has given us everything. He's given us his word. He's given us the spirit. He's given us revelation. And we can be just like the people in Jerusalem who were so close, but they were so far. They knew all the things. They saw all the things. And Jesus said, you missed it. They were looking for Jesus to be something that Jesus had never intended to be. They wanted political peace and political freedom, but Jesus came to give something way better. Spiritual peace. And in our life, we can be guilty. I want Jesus to bring this, and if he doesn't bring this, then maybe he's not worth following. But Jesus has come to give us what we need, not what we want. He's come to give us peace with God and peace when we know that when our life is over, I am safe in his arm. They wanted deliverance from Rome, but Jesus brings deliverance from sin, and that's more important. And so Jesus is the King who weeps over people that are near in proximity, but far from his heart. This has to be one of the saddest verses in Scripture. You didn't recognize the time of God's coming to you. And I just wonder in 2025, if we aren't guilty of that same thing. We're so busy, so many other things happening, and they're good things. And they're important things. And we live in, you know, kind of a Christian culture who there's a church on every street and you can listen to the best preachers on podcasts and you've got the Bible in your phone. You've got everything. You've got all the access into the world to God and we can miss it. We can miss it because of just, maybe it's too familiar. You've heard the Easter story before and you've heard the Palm Sunday story before, but I wonder if Jesus doesn't look over our life and weep because we can miss it. Because we're looking for the wrong thing, expecting the wrong type of Savior, and we can miss it. Jesus is close. And we can be guilty of being close in proximity but far in surrender. That he is right in front of us, but we can't see him. That he has revealed himself to us in Scripture, but if we're honest, we're not really looking for him. Because I've got to get to the next thing. I've got this other thing I've got to do. I've got a career I've got to build. I've got a family I've got to raise. All good things. I want those for you. But does Jesus weep over us because we're so far from him? Does he weep over the lost opportunities? Does he weep over spiritual distance or spiritual complacenceness? Does he weep that we know the routines, but our heart is really not there? He said this, if you, even you had only known that this day, that it would bring you peace, that he has come to bring you peace. And then this next line should awaken us. Now it's hidden from your eyes. You know what Jesus is saying here? That Jesus has come to bring you peace. He's come to bring you peace with God, that he is the bridge, and there is a window of opportunity that is open, but that window of opportunity will not always be open. There is a window of time, and eventually that window will close. And we can say to ourselves, well, I'll get serious with God someday. well, I'll start to follow God. I've got to get through my 20s, or I've got to do this thing first, or I've got to get my kids raised, and then I'll get, well, there's a window. There's a window of time. And the invitation is, man, don't wait. Don't say, well, I'll surrender my life to Jesus someday after I've lived my life, after I've had my fun, because let's be honest, none of us, myself included, are guaranteed tomorrow. None of us know when that opportunity might pass. Jesus weeps because he came to be close, and people, this is an important word, choose to be distant. Do you know why you're distant from God? It's because you've chosen to be distant from God. That's the only reason. The reason that you're distant from God, if you are, is because that's a choice that you've made. Jesus's choice was, I'm going to come close. But we can, because of just all the things in our life, or maybe a wrong expectation of Jesus, we can be near in knowledge, near in proximity, but we can be a long ways away in surrender. The author of Hebrews said it this way, as it has been said today, if you hear his voice, hey, don't harden your hearts. That's my invitation to you. Are you hearing his voice? Are you waiting for someday, one day? Don't miss that window. Don't miss that window to surrender. Don't miss that window to say, Jesus, my life is yours. On Palm Sunday, as we enter into Holy Week, can I invite you, don't miss the King. Don't miss the King. Trust him when you don't understand. Trust him that he will fulfill every promise, even if he doesn't fulfill every expectation. Worship him because this is who he is. He is worthy of my worship. Doesn't matter what else is going on in my life. And the invitation to you, what a better time. Follow him. Follow him. Not just in actions, but with your heart. Don't just go through the motions, but surrender to him. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have come near to us. And so Lord, I'm praying as we remember Palm Sunday and as we fix our eyes towards the resurrection on Easter, that we would see you as a King. We don't want to miss you. We don't want to have you right here in front of us and be so distracted and so complacent and miss your invitation to us. And so, Lord, this week, I'm praying for those that might be here, that they are, if they're honest, they're disappointed. That they feel like you should have done something different. They feel like some prayers should have been answered. They feel like some things should have gone differently. Lord, I'm praying that you would bring healing to those areas. And Lord, that we would be willing to trust that your promises are true. That we can count on you to fulfill every promise that you've made. So I'm praying that you'd be close to people that are brokenhearted. I'm praying that you would give wisdom to people that need wisdom. I'm praying that you would give peace to people that are anxious. I'm praying that you would give your grace and your mercy to those that aren't sure how are they going to put one foot in front of the other, because that's the promises that you've made. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've withheld our worship. Forgive us for the times that we have based your worthiness of our worship based on what's going on in my life, how I'm feeling, what's happening. Lord, help us to, you are worthy of our worship. Lord, I'm praying for those that are a little bit too much like those people in Jerusalem, close in proximity, but far in surrender, that this would be the time that they walk through the door and say, Jesus, here I am, and I want to come close to you. It's in your name that we pray.